I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man, I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita.
Good evening, Vashon Island. I am Megan Hastings, and this is the Cats and Jammer Follies, a travel story show. And today we have a very special guest, my dear friend Franco Lamara. Franco lives in Portland, Oregon, and is married to one of my very best friends, and one of the very first people that I ever met on Vashon Island, Marta. Franco, however, comes from a little town near the Adriatic coast of Italy called Conversano. Imagine an ancient Italian town near the city of Bari and near the heel of Italy. Then you would find Conversano. It has castles and cathedrals and a monastery. Franco, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Thank you. Oh, good, Megan. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, gosh, you're always welcome. Franco, you grew up in southern Italy in the 1960s and 70s. Can you tell us what year you were? What year did you come to the United States?
I came into the United States in 1980.
Okay. So you were in Italy. How old were you when you came?
19 years old.
Okay. Awesome. So you know Italy from a way back time, a time that I only imagine with beautiful women like Sophia Loren walking the streets.
That's yes, bottom line. However, there were times where they were not all Sophia Loren.
Of course, of course. But we can all dream that everybody is Sophia Loren.
That's so true. That was the expectation, at least.
Yeah, she's pretty grand. Tell me about Conversano, because it's a place that I don't actually know. I've been to the Adriatic coast of Italy, but I've never been down that far. I've only gone as far as Rimini.
Well, imagine small streets, very small streets, that driving a car through, it could be very, very challenging. The roads are made of nice, shiny stones, and we have... we have the old town, and we had actually the old town and the new town, which it wasn't different, really. It's just the name of it. We had a...
One is from the 1400s, the next one's from the 1600s.
That's correct. Yes, that's correct. And basically, at the time I grew up in, we didn't have major shopping malls, or it was really, everything was really simple. Mm-hmm. Where, for example, we had many little shops that specialized for different elementary food.
Mm, like the butcher shop.
For example, we had the butcher shop that if you wanted the meat, you just walk to it and you get any type of meat that they were available at the time. Or on the other end, you wanted bread, you would go to a specific shop to get il fornaio, to get the bread made daily, that you could smell it for like miles away.
Oh.
And we then have main attraction. The only main attraction in Conversano was the Adriatic coast, that it was like probably three miles from Conversano.
Would you walk there as a kid? Your bike?
We rode the bike mainly, yeah. and mainly, to be honest with you, I used to borrow my dad's car when I was 9 years old, with him not knowing it, and we used to go with some friends. We used to drive at night.
At nine, you would drive at night.
At nine, yes.
Oh my God.
I know. It was pretty, at the time.
How did he not know?
Well, that's pretty interesting. He did not know because I was able to start his car with a...
like a screwdriver?
Kind of. You know, like this, the tuna can that they used to have a little key that had to open. With that key, somehow I was able to start this car. And it was funny because the next morning when he got up, he started the car up when he had to go to work, and he just see that the gasoline was really low, and he used to get out of the car and look underneath the car to see if there was a leak.
Well, he could never imagine that his 9-year-old son would be driving his car.
That's correct.
So when you would take the car at night, where would you go?
Well,
first off, I want to know what kind of car was it.
It was called Il Millecento.
Oh, Millecento, like, not the Cinquecento.
No, Il Millecento. The Cinquecento was a car that a friend of mine at 12 years old bought, and we also had some great times with our little car.
Those are about the only cars that can get through those narrow vias.
Yes. Yes, and especially and having a brand new car there, I learned it was not really convenient. There would be scratches all over the place after you owned it for at least a year.
Yeah, there's no point in having a big car there at all.
No, not at all. Not at all. And actually, at the time, we were very, very blessed and fortunate to be able to afford a car.
What did your dad do, Franco?
Oh, well, my dad used to work as he used to install the aqueduct pipe, and therefore he used to drive the jackhammer. And he used to dig these trenches where aqueduct pipe would be installed.
Can you explain to people that don't know what an aqueduct is, what it is?
It's basically the water system. So that in 1960s, there weren't very many possibility to get the water in your house. For example, where we were living in a basement of maybe 20 by 20, and we were with me and my mom and dad and my two sisters living in the basement, and we did not have any water. I had to go get water. I was in charge of getting the water from a main fountain, which it was about 4.5 blocks from the house.
And did you have an outhouse then?
Well, interesting. No, we did not. We we had at the time, and I remember clearly that every morning we had a truck that came and picked up maybe I need your help here.
The waste, exactly.
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome, of course. So, can I just ask you about, like, the dialect of Conversano? Because that's what you grew up speaking, right?
Most certainly. It's to me, even today, is so amazing for me to know this, because in Conversano, we have a dialect. For example, I'm gonna give you a quick example.
Yeah.
Devo andare in Italian is I am going to go. Now, I'm going to speak dialect. Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste is the dialect
of Devo andare.
Devo andare.
Namaste. Where's the influence from on that?
Oh, you know, the influence, I cannot be very specific. The only thing I know that each town for example, from Conversano to Polignano, which is 7 miles from distance, they have a totally different dialect. So it's a dialect that it's been created from the citizen of Conversano.
So it's like you had to learn Italian.
Definitely.
Yeah.
We had to learn two languages. The mainly the unfortunate thing, or the fortunate thing, is that we spoke our dialect at the time. Only in north of Italy, you could hear people talking more
Italian,
speaking the Italian language.
Yeah, because southern Italy is really all broken up with different dialects.
Although
when I lived in Milan, there's the Milanese. I mean, not that people speak it now, but when I was there, the family that I lived with, they were very part of that city, and they knew a lot of it, but I mean, it wasn't spoken at home for sure.
Right. Yeah.
Franco, we're going to play a song now that you wanted to share with us. Will you tell me a little bit about this song? I'll tell you which one we're going to play first. Hold on. We are going to play the one by Adriano Celentano, Il ragazzo della via Cloc. Is this a song you listened to when you were a kid?
Yes. Yes, and it is a song that has a tremendous amount of meaning to me. It's basically, it explains in a nutshell my life, how I grew up in Italy and I moved to the U.S. And then when I go back to Conversano, I see things differently, where we had much green, many parks, or like, I wouldn't say many parks, we had some parks, and now you see these big buildings that have taken over.
Yeah, I bet it really grew up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
Well, let's enjoy this song, okay?
Excellent.
Questa è la storia di uno di noi, anche lui nato per caso in via Gluck, in una casa fuori città, gente tranquilla che lavorava, là dove c'era l'erba ora c'è una città. E quella casa in mezzo al verde ormai, dove sarà? Questo ragazzo della via Gru si divertiva a giocare con me, ma un giorno disse: vado in città, e lo diceva mentre piangeva. Io gli domando: amico, non sei contento? Vai finalmente a stare in città, la troverai le cose che non hai avuto qui. Potrai lavarti in casa senza andare giù nel cortile, mio caro amico, disse, qui sono nato e in questa strada.
Franco, I have a couple more questions for you.
Perfect.
Well, I want to, first off, I want you to explain what he's talking about in that song, but then I also want to talk about your mom's food and the food of the region of Bari.
Oh, excellent. Well, what the artist Adriano Celentano is talking about in the song is this boy who grew up in a very, very small city decided to move to northern Italy, mm-hmm. to a bigger city. And when he before he moved, there were many farms, a lot of land that it was free. And then, as all the good times he had before he moved, when he moved back, he didn't see all this. This beauty. He just saw a lot of smog, and things were totally different. And
it all changed. And, you mean?
And all changed.
Yeah.
And actually, truthfully, that's what I see when I happen to go back.
Yeah. What is it? What do you see? What are the big differences that you see, even just among your family, like lifestyle and?
Sure. In it used to be, Megan, it used to be so simple,
yeah,
living there, and at the same time more challenging when I was there. Now it's,
well, having to walk 4.5 blocks to get water would be challenging just on its own.
exactly. However, I wouldn't change that for my life experience ever. I am so blessed that I was able to grow up in that environment, even though challenging as it sounds.
Yeah, no, I'm sure.
And that to me, it really shaped me in the person that I am today.
Who we all love.
Oh, thank you so much.
I was lucky enough to get to spend time with Franco and his lovely wife in Italy about 3-4 years ago, obviously pre-pandemic, but we got to have a lot of good beach time, beach bar time, and afternoon drinks. Campari soda.
Yes, it was really... We had a amazing time, and thank you for making this happen.
Oh,
actually,
my God,
Megan,
we're gonna have to do
thank
it again.
You.
We're gonna have to, yes, do it again. But I want to hear about. Is your mom somebody? I got to meet your family when Franco got married in Portland, outside of Portland, in the Shampooey Valley. And his mother came, and she's got to be like 95 now, right?
She is 93. She, in December 27 of this year, of last year, she became
93.
She's now 93. Yeah.
And she did make the trek all the way out here to the Pacific Northwest. What are some of her, I want to hear about the food of that region. So if you're on the Adriatic coast, it would have to be like a lot of fish dishes, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mainly fish dishes. However, when I was there, the main dishes that my mom used to make were gnocchi di patate.
Yum.
That was her specialty. She was able to make gnocchi di patate from scratch, and it didn't take her very long to prepare an incredible meal. And the smell of the basement, the way we were living in,
mm-hmm.
it was just absolutely, it just made you hungry just smelling.
Oh, I can imagine.
Great cooking.
What kind of sauce would she put on that gnocchi?
Oh, she would, as a family, every year we made our own salsa.
Mm-hmm.
By buying tomatoes and making salsa that lasted all year long.
So it would be red sauce.
It would be red sauce, yeah.
Oh, it
and
sounds beautiful.
Everything was fresh. And I often miss the aroma that I grew up with.
Are there any restaurants in Portland that remind you? I mean, of course, there's a lot of Italian restaurants. I don't mean that, but I mean, are there any very specific ones that remind you really of being at home in Italy? That you would recommend in Portland?
Let's see.
I know one place I have gone to. There's a thing called Panzerotti, which is from Bari. And there's a little stand there called, well, I don't know what it's really called, but the guy that owns it is named Walter.
Walter.
Yeah.
He is, I would say, the closest. The closest food he makes Panzerotti, which they taste like when you are in Italy. I would say
they really do.
And one of the reasons he uses the mozzarella cheese that it's imported from Italy. And he's a very good friend of mine, and he basically is trying to build he wants to build a restaurant. And
oh, good.
But, yeah, he is really, that is the closest food that I've tasted here that it's similar than Italy.
And for those of you that don't know what that is, it's basically kind of like a deep fried smaller version of a calzone, and they are one of the best things ever if you like the deep fried food. Franco, it has been a great pleasure to have you on the show. I'm sorry, was there another restaurant that you were going to recommend in Portland that reminded you of
yes, De Nicola's, I know the owners really well, and they are from southern Italy. And even though the ingredients the ingredients are from
the cuisine,
US,
yeah,
the cuisine is really, really close to the southern Italy
experience.
Taste.
Oh, it's Danicolas?
Danicolas, it's called. And they are really, they have become really good friends of mine.
Well, the next time that I'm in Portland, we're going to have to come down there.
Perfect. It would be, please, let's make it happen soon.
Yes, I agree. Thank you so much, Franco Lamara, for coming on a visit. And here's our next song that he recommended. Will you, what's the name of it again, Franco, the next one? Hold on, let me just... Gianni Morandi.
Gianni Morandi, sì. And this song, it has a lot of sentiments to me, for me.
When Franco, you're an old sentimental cat, aren't you?
I am. Well, you know, I think as I grow older, I really feel I am really attached to all my experiences.
Well, we're going to...
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say we're going to get attached to this song that we're going to play right now.
Excellent.
Thank you, Franco.
You're welcome.
Ho sbagliato con te, ritornerò in ginocchio da te e bacerò le tue mani, amore, negli occhi tuoi che hanno pianto per me. Io cercherò perdono da te e bacerò le tue mani, amor. Io voglio per me le tue carezze, sì, io t'amo più della mia vita. Cercherò il perdono da te e bacerò le tue mani, amor. Ritornerò in ginocchio da te. L'altra non è niente per me. Ora lo so, ho sbagliato con te, ritornerò in ginocchio da te. Sì, io t'amo più della mia vita, io voglio per me le tue carezze. Oh sì, io t'amo più.
Franco, that's a beautiful song that you shared with us.
Oh, thank you.
I was very lucky you got to grow up with those beautiful songs. I love all those old Italian crooners. One of my favorites is, he's a Milanese singer, but do you remember a singer by the name of Enzo Iannacci?
Sì.
Sì. Sì.
Yes, I do.
Vengo anch'io.
Vengo anch'io, sì, sì.
One of my favorite old Italian songs. Franco, thank you so much. It's been a great pleasure, and I hope that you and Marta come up to Vashon very soon for a visit with us.
We will definitely plan on it. And Megan, stay safe, and thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for sharing your stories, and I'd like to envision you as a 9-year-old stealing the Milecento. Wait, what was the name of the car? I can't remember.
The Milecento.
As a 9-year-old, every time I'm going to look at a 9-year-old now, I'm going to imagine them driving.
Oh, they were really special time.
I can imagine. Thank you for sharing those memories with us.
Thank you, Megan, and have a beautiful day.
Thank you. You too, Franco.
I've been everywhere.
Thank you so much, Voice of Vashon. This has been Megan Hastings and the Cats and Jammer Follies. We'll see you next week somewhere else around the world.